Hey, everybody. Welcome to Defy and Hustle. We're going to have a blast tonight because we are here with two really funny people. They are doing a show. They're doing a show this weekend at the Palace Theater. It's on Friday night. It's at 8 o'clock. Sorry, January 11th. Don't go at 11. It's on Friday night, January 11th, tomorrow. No, Friday. Oh, I'm so sorry. All right, somebody else.
Take two.
Sorry. All right. It's at the. I do actually know this because my birthday's tomorrow, and I should know what day it is.
Happy birthday!
Can you celebrate your birthday with us?
I will come celebrate my birthday with you.
All right, come to the show. See Noreen. Buy
her
a drink.
Yes, tell her it's her birthday.
We have Broadway the comedian.
Yes, woo!
You're headlining the show, Broadway.
Yes, that's correct.
And we have Mats Pilasa here.
Yay!
Yay!
He's wonderful. Go and see him.
Yeah. He's amazing.
So there's a show at the Palace Theater at Stamford on Friday at 8 p.m. Okay, that's clear. And you can go online and buy tickets where? You
at
tell
the
us,
Palace
Broadway.
Theater.
You have to go to the Palace Theater to buy them?
Yes, you can go to the box office or you can purchase it online.
And the box office where?
It's at the Palace Theater.
Right, okay.
61 Atlantic Street.
Okay.
Stamford,
okay.
Connecticut.
So, folks, when they go to the show, what are they going to see? Why don't you. Broadway.
First of all, they're going to see all this greatness before them.
She is great.
I don't know what else to give y'all. No.
You people can't see this at home, but Broadway looks fantastic.
She's wearing a blinged out leather jacket, and your hair is beautiful.
Thank you.
You look beautiful.
I purchased it on AliExpress.
What, your hair or your jacket?
Both.
So, and then Mats, you're on the show.
Yes, and I'm wearing a 3-piece suit by Armani right now. I look fantastic.
Oh my goodness, I almost got your number.
Yes, and I'll be on show. And then we have three other comics.
That
right?
is correct.
So they're going to come. So if I come down to the show, I'm getting the stink eye right away.
You are going to have
I should, because I really, Daisy knows, I've been working so hard, right? I need to relax and laugh.
Yes.
Let me tell you, girlfriend, he is hilarious.
I went
to see him. He didn't see my work yet, but he will be very proud of me.
I will be very proud of her. Oh. She's a good woman.
She's a good woman.
And we had a nice conversation after my show, and I appreciate her coming to my show. And
all right, well, let me introduce you a little bit more. So you're Broadway the comedian.
That is correct.
And you're described as a local rising star.
Yes.
And tell me how you got Broadway the comedian.
So I used to date a guy.
Oh.
What?
What?
There was
what?
A guy. And he would, every time he would see me, he was like, you know, your name should be Broadway because you just light up the room. And so all that, he would call me Broadway and I would call him Hollywood. So, and then as I've started to get introduced into the comedy world, I was like, what? Broadway the comedian. So I knew I wanted to have Broadway somewhere in there.
So we should call you Broadway the comedian.
Or you could just call me Deborah because we're friends now.
All right.
You know, if you want to introduce me,
I'm
going to
call you Broadway. I'm going to call you Broadway. And so when we call you a local rising star, do you like that?
It don't matter to me. I'm not big on titles. I'm a comedian.
Okay. But you did get your start in New York City.
Yes, I did.
And so do you still go
into? I still go to New York. I still do. I actually got an offer to do Broadway Comedy Club, but I wasn't able to do it because I wanted to do something in Stamford at a larger capacity, you know, something to that, something a little bit bigger.
Right.
And I had a lot of people from Connecticut that couldn't make it to the city, and there's a lot of people from the city who couldn't make it, so I just wanted to keep it in the middle.
I do want to talk to you about Connecticut and the comedy scene here, but first, let me better introduce Mats Pilasa. There's a name.
Yes, so it is a name.
So you're not a rising star? What does that
no,
mean?
No, I plateaued and probably on my downward
star.
Side.
Yeah, but you've been doing comedy for 40 years.
40 years, yes.
And you have been doing comedy. You've been a Catch a Rising Star.
Yes.
You've been a Caroline.
Yes.
Don't Tell Mamas
yes.
in New York City, the Bolton Center, Westchester Broadway Theater in New York. You have opened, I want you to tell me about this. So you have opened for Kevin Nealon.
Yes.
Jim Norton.
Yes.
Bill Gardell.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
And Kevin Meaney.
Yes.
And you've also been on Impractical Jokers.
I was on an episode of Impractical Jokers. Yes, we filmed one of their, I don't know if you're familiar with the show, but they do the punishment scenes at the end.
That's the show with the guys, the four, is that the show with
guys.
The four? That show is hysterical.
Yes, yes. So they actually filmed it in Stanford. They filmed it at Sterling Farms Golf Course in the theaters up there, Curtain Call.
That part doesn't sound as funny. What were they doing up at the Sterling Farms?
They were filming the punishment scene is what is. Joe had lost in the episode, and he was filming a punishment. So they did a scene which was kind of like Aladdin, and he was the genie. And so they did like three little quick acts, and each time he came in, and they had him tied up to the cables and were flying him around and smashing into the sets, and the audience had no idea. They thought they were coming to see plays that were possibly going to go to Broadway.
I like that. I like prank.
Yes. Oh, it was very funny. He destroyed the place, but it was funny. So I was one of the other actors on stage along with a friend of mine.
I'm not allowed to call you that. Broadway.
Yes.
I want to call you by your real name.
It's okay.
Broadway. So what is your are you trying to get into? What are you trying to do with your career? So now you're in Stanford, you're doing the show, and what's your goals? What are
my
some of
my goal is to bring comedy to Stanford.
Okay.
That's my goal, because a lot of people go to Hartford or they go to New York, and everybody's moving to Stanford. Stanford is up and coming. They have bars, they have brunch, they have everything. I really want a brunch comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have like a comedy show at a brunch.
Uh-huh.
That's my initial goal. So other than that, I just want to bring comedy here on a steady basis and everyone just have a good time, because we work hard and it's nothing like a good laugh.
And when you so do you want to go on to TV, or I mean, like, do you have really,
you think I have a presence?
You absolutely look stunning and absolutely don't belong on radio, because you look beautiful.
Oh, thank
and you,
you
look
so
like
much
you do belong on television.
If that one thing about me, I don't calculate my steps, I go with my steps. So wherever my steps is going to lead me is where I'm supposed to be.
How would you describe your comedy?
Hilarious and a little vulgar, though.
A little vulgar, because you seem now, we pre-interview our guests, and so when I was reading about you, you seemed so not, like, you seemed so in the flow. What I try to work with my clients, I do coaching, but when I work with my clients, trying to get them into the flow of life, but you...
Oh, I have it. I'm flowing.
You're flowing.
Like, I'm the river. Just call me River.
Okay.
Broadway River.
The funny thing that you say that, that was my first time ever doing stand-up.
When?
The video I showed you guys.
Really?
My first time ever hitting the mic.
So how did you even know you were funny?
I've always make everyone laugh. I'm kind of like a class clown, life of the party, and I have no home training.
So
basically, when you have no home training, you say whatever comes out your mouth, and it's always hilarious.
But wait, so you're funny, and there's a lot of people out there that are funny,
mm-hmm.
right? But what makes you turn around and go, you know something? I'm going to go out in front of people and try to make them laugh.
So when I find out that I really, really had the niche is when I was at a funeral and I got up to speak and I made everyone laugh at the funeral.
Oh, that's
I mean,
cool.
At that point, I mean, you got it.
But it wasn't like somebody came up and said, you know something? You absolutely belong. It was just something
The funny thing is, I was in the class for Caroline's, and a few times, someone walked to me and said, you should be a comedian. And I said, is someone gossiping about me? Because how did you know? He was like, you just have this presence. And I was like, oh, wow. And then one day I'm on a train, I'm just talking to my friend, and a guy comes out of nowhere. He was like, you are hilarious. He didn't even know me. So.
All right. So hold on. We'll go to our second contestant here tonight. Mott,
yes.
You've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
And so... So then, and then you've gotten on television. What are you're trying to? You do more improv, actually.
I've done a little bit of everything. So you know, I used to work with a couple of sketch and improv groups, the Players out of Stanford, a Comedy Express out of Long Island.
Uh-huh.
So you know, I've done that. Done stand up, you know, for a while, and
but
a lot of sketch.
You both actually have jobs, full-time jobs, but you have a job. You're a mailman, right?
Yes, I'm a mailman.
And you live in Stanford.
Yes.
You grew up in Stanford.
Yes.
And so you're just doing this because...
Well, it's therapeutic for me, And I do it because it's something I'm good at, and I just enjoy getting up and making people laugh. But it makes me feel it's therapy. You can get up and talk about, I mean, Broadway will back me up on this. You can get up and talk about anything. You having a bad day and you want to talk about it, you can get up there and just let it out, you know.
All right, good. Well, I want to, Josh, can you play the clip with Jerry Seinfeld? Mm-hmm.
So he'll be there too on Friday. Jerry Seinfeld will be one of the comics. So come on by.
So I want, because I do want to talk to you about how do you create comedy. And I know I'm just going to play this clip. You're good to go, and then we're going to come back. Let's talk about how you guys come up with. I don't know how you do it. So we'll come back from the clip and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
I know you think people are going to be interested in this, but they're not. I've probably been working on this for 2 years. 2 years? I mean, usually I write a bit in a couple days. It's a long time to spend on something that means absolutely nothing. But that's what I do. That's what people want me to do, is spend a lot of time wastefully so that then I can then waste their time. Comedy writing is something you don't see people doing. It's a secretive thing. I've never shown anybody this stuff. I feel a little funny about it right now, to tell you the truth.
Credit cards. We're having this mayhem in the studio. Well, that was Jerry Seinfeld, and he's known for really crafting his jokes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I wanted to know, let's start with Broadway. So how do you, you're about, so let's go into the theater tomorrow, and you've got this audience in the room, and so are you preparing for weeks and weeks, or how do you go about it?
So before I thought I was funny and thought I can be a comedian, I would walk down the street and literally just bust out and laugh and think of something, and it would have like a whole story to it, front, back, middle. So I would say, let me just start writing it down. So for 3-4 years, I've just been writing. So within that 3-4 years, I have different things that I could pick from. Certain things current in my life, something that's happened.
Like what?
Like maybe dating. Now I'm on dating. So okay. I would maybe talk about dating or might be a little inappropriate to say, like, can we speak words?
Probably
not bad words.
Oh, okay.
Not like B and F and...
Oh, then...
Nothing in the alphabet we can use here.
Like basically, like, you know, growing up now, the world is a little more faster. So like holes and half a hole, how can you finagle that and not be one, or you know? So that's what I'm trying to figure out now. I'm trying to see how I could be a half and not the whole.
What do you consider yourself, half or whole?
I'm half, definitely half, because I'm a mom. And I got girls I gotta raise, so I have to like lead by example. So I'm definitely half.
So
however,
if you are a mother, then you're half ho automatically.
I mean, well, some are ho hos, but well,
those are baked goods, ho hos.
Then you a ho ho. Yeah, just call her name is Christmas. Just call her Christmas. So it varies. So I'm always just thinking of something, and it just pops in my head,
and you write it down. And then, do you get nervous when you go up on the stage?
I used to, but now I feel like I might be all right. This, from my last show that I did, I was really, really good with the comfortability of it all. Uh-huh. But now I feel like, y'all gonna get whatever y'all gonna let me play.
But, okay, so Mats, what, like, now you don't do more improv, or why am I under this understanding you do more improv, or how did you get your start?
I mean, for my stand-up, I do a little bit of everything. I mean, I'm more of a storyteller, I'm not a joke teller, so I'll talk about things that have gone on in my life, or growing up, or whatever, my grandson, my kids, my relationships, my work, but when I get on stage, I have no idea where it's going, so I don't get up with a set, okay, I'm opening up with this. I kind of know what I might end with. I usually end with, you know, my set ends in a certain story, but the beginning and middle, I have no idea where it's going to go. I kind of leave that open. I'll talk to the audience. I do a lot of crowd work, you know.
Meaning you interact with the audience?
Yes, I'll ask questions, I'll hold conversations, and, you know, some comics don't like somebody that
you
does a lot of crowd
heckled?
Work. Oh, yeah, all the time, yeah.
You
all
do?
The time?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not all the time, but I mean, I don't think you can go up on stage and not get heckled at some point.
And
in
did
time.
You ever, so somebody, did you ever lose your temper or anything like that?
No, you try not to. I mean, you're there to entertain, so, and you're there to control the room. So you have to set yourself up as, this is, you know, this is my job, this is what I do, and I control the room. So if somebody's funnier than you by heckling you, well, then maybe you should bring them up on stage.
So you talk about your childhood. Like, what are some stories that you tell about your childhood?
Look at Daisy just took over the show. Daisy just pushed. You can't see this at home.
I'm just curious. Like, you start your show, and you, like, talk about, like, childhood and the therapy you've had? Like, how do you start a show?
I never had therapy.
I don't know. He don't need therapy.
Yes, right. No, I just, I'll come up and how are you? And I might see somebody in the audience and just say, hey, how you doing? Are you a couple? Are you guys together? And, you know, talk about the clothes he's wearing or whatever.
Let's play it out now, okay? So me and Noreen are sitting in the audience. Right. We're just sitting here. You come on stage. We're just like, it's just us. And then there's a whole bunch of people. Hey, I'm so excited to watch this comedy show at the Palace Theater.
All right. So, hey, how you girls doing tonight?
We're good. Yeah.
Well, you had some mimosas, huh? So I guess you're not the DD tonight, I would take it, right?
The Uber is.
And I don't mean double D because they're both well. So things like that.
It's
you're having a conversation, yeah. And a lot of times people will just either get nervous or they'll be very open with you, and you can twist things or take a story a different way, and they're not even realizing what they're saying.
So that's your preference for comedy, is to go into it and just feel the audience out and have that kind of rapport conversation.
That's kind of how I open up myself, but it depends. And Broadway will tell you this. It depends on the venue and how much time you have. Right. If you're opening up and say some places only give you 7 minutes,
oh, okay.
Some places will give you 10, some 15. Mm-hmm. So the shorter amount of time you have, the less time you're going to spend talking to the audience. You want to get more into material, so you'll gauge your sets.
How
that
do you
way
memorize your material? Because there's some, we were watching different,
it's so hard.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
I'm so impressed.
Thank
you,
Daisy. She just crawled across the floor. I can't believe she did
what I've been doing now is just basically stepping my titles, like my topics.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, all right, go with this flow, and I try to memorize my topic. So if I'm in this joke, this is this topic. The next joke, that topic, and I try to memorize
my
topic.
But you have to memorize it. There's not a cue card. So what do other, do all comedians have to memorize it? I mean, there's some of them that just,
I don't know what department they work in.
I mean, it's amazing, but it must be really hard.
She's Instagramming this, so I'm bombed.
Yes. We have all bombed
she's
it.
Looking
we're
down
live on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Is there anybody? Who do you think is the best comic that's out there right now?
Oh, I think Broadway.
You think Broadway?
I think Mike is.
All right. Very good. Very good.
Look what we just did there.
We're going to call it chocolate and vanilla.
Yes. Ebony and ivory.
Exactly.
So, pain? Like, was there, so I'm talking to you now, Broadway, was there something going on in your childhood that made, no?
I come from a funny family. Everyone, if you're in my house on a holiday and everyone's there, it's no silence.
That's fun.
It's nothing but fun, nothing but laughter. Everybody in my family is hilarious. Every story they tell from when they got caught cheating, when they beat somebody, like, it's nothing but hysterical laughing the whole entire night. And sometimes we party from like 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., 6 a.m. And people don't go home, and then we continue the next day.
So after the show, we'll be going to Broadway.
Yes, Broadway house.
Family's house for the party that will last till 5 a.m.
It's like everyone is all teeth. That's all you're going to see. All teeth. Big teeth, bad teeth, no teeth. Is something, the mouth is going to be open.
And your kids, are they like, oh my God, would you just stop?
My daughter, she's like, comedian. Like, if I start taking pictures. So she have like words. She goes, typical means sad. I'm like, huh. Ass kicking means I'm going to whip your ass. But I don't beat my kid. But in my mind. If I did.
If you did.
Because she, you know, she's just it's the second one. But
really,
it's always the second one.
So what her, she was just like, typical. Comedian.
All right. When we go out to commercial, we are going to play something from, you'll recognize his voice. This is Defy and Hustle. We're here with Broadway the Comedian and Mats Palazza, and we're talking about their show Friday night at 8 p.m. at the Palace Theater in Stamford.
That's
Check it out. You can go there and buy the tickets and go see a show with how many comedians?
A thousand, not four.
Four comedians. All right.
That's right, man. You better have some medical insurance or you're going to die. That's right. Everybody, ooh, you got to eat right and exercise. No, you don't. You need some coverage. Coverage will save your life. That's right. I mean, we all going to die, but at least if you got some coverage, you will die on a mattress. That's right, man. When I was a kid, we didn't have no insurance. We didn't have a damn thing. You had to be damn near dead to see the doctor. That's why you had to be way past Robitussin.
Good evening. We're still looking at a very busy ride here on the northbound turnpike from the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk. 37 minutes. We're clocking in. 27-minute ride on the northbound Merritt Parkway now from the state line to Route 7. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help a national nonprofit developing better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Jay Trelease in the 1490 WGCH Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy, breezy, and cold for tonight with a few passing flurries. Late lows 25 to 30. Clouds giving way to partial sunshine tomorrow. Breezy and cold 30 to 35. Mostly clear skies 15 to 20 tomorrow night and Friday sunny, the high near 25. Ski sundown in New Hartford with Terrain Parks Cruisers racing in that famous 6 o'clock night groom, open 7 days and nights. Ski sundown, winter made better. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 4.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over 2 decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
WGCH 1490.
Good evening. We're still looking at a very busy ride here on the northbound turnpike from the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk. 37 minutes. We're clocking in. 27-minute ride on the northbound Merritt Parkway now from the state line to Route 7. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help a national nonprofit developing better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Jay Trelease in the 1490 WGCH Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Considerable cloudiness for tonight. Breezy and colder with a few passing flurries. The late lows 25 to 30. And tomorrow becoming partly sunny, breezy and cold 30 to 35. Mostly clear skies, very cold tomorrow night. Lows in the upper teens. And Friday, sunny, the high near 25. Mostly sunny, upper 20s Saturday. And Sunday, mostly cloudy but dry. Highs 25 to 30. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher at 14.
Are you a business owner who's suffering from what I call the entrepreneur's dilemma? That means you have a successful business, but you're so caught up in operations that you are overwhelmed. Maybe you're capital constrained, or you just know that you can scale your business to another level, but you need help doing that. This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over 2 decades, I worked as a CFO and CPA in Wall Street's fast-paced real estate private equity industry, where I helped start up and turn around hundreds of underperforming businesses. Based on this know-how, I created a 100-day plan that I tailor to your business to make sure that you streamline operations, drive performance, and generate profits fast. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at noreenerlich.com or by calling me at 475-333-2173.
Do any. You know what's better than tax write-offs? Keeping your money. That's just a fun joke to tell rich people. It's not true. I work with Make-A-Wish all the time. That's an incredible experience. For me, not the kids that are dying. Yeah. They chose to hang out with me. They knew what kind of jokes I told. They were okay with it. I don't pander on stage, and I certainly don't pander off stage. And I'm telling you honestly, these dying kids have the best sense of humor on this planet. Their parents, not so much. But I don't care. As soon as I meet them, I start giving it to them. Like, you sure you're dying? You know this is my weekend, right? And they're like, I'm dying. I'm like, all right, let's go. Don't cough on me, motherfucker.
All right, well, that was Daniel Tosh. I'm Noreen, and I have in the studio with me Broadway the Comedian, and I have Mats Palazza, and they're doing a show tomorrow. Gosh, I did it again.
Friday.
Tomorrow's my birthday, folks. I
should
have
it. Happy birthday.
And then I'm pandering there. And then Friday, they're doing a show that I'm going to at the Palace Theater in Stamford, Connecticut, folks. So right here, it's at 8 p.m. And you can go to the Palace Theater to buy the tickets. And there's four comedians. We've got two of them here. And that was Daniel Tosh. And he was saying something little bit dangerous. He was talking about kids being sick. Mm-hmm. And he was also talking about how their parents don't have the sense of humor. So we are in a culture right now where it's very PC, right? Everything's got to be very PC. So how do you deal with that as a comedian?
I just try to stay away from sensitive topics. I don't try to talk about kids too much. Like, I talk about my kids because those are my kids. I can do that. But I don't talk politics. I don't.
Don't you think people, you talk about, you're talking about ho-hos and.
Well, hoes is always going to be around. Uh-huh. You know, that's a business that just don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ain't no business like the whole business.
That's
so,
it.
You know, so you can't stay away
but
from
not,
that.
So you're not worried? Like, or Mats, do you ever get up there and get worried that, because it doesn't even if you.
No. No, I mean, you do what you think to you is funny,
uh-huh.
And you hope that everybody finds it funny. You're not going to please everybody. Some people might be offended, and it's just, you know, I feel bad that they didn't enjoy it as much as the other people did, but I go by what I think is funny.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it's everything's too PC now.
If a hoe don't find it funny, it's because she's a hoe.
she shouldn't be at the show anyway.
Oh,
she should be out there working.
Exactly. Or she's with the guy just for the money, and
that
she knows what it is.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, so she wasn't nice to me. She was just trying to use me for my money. So
they don't understand that men don't.
They know.
I don't know about that. I know some of them.
They act like they don't know.
So
unless you live underneath a rock. It's the same story.
I wanted to play. Josh, could you tee up the next one? I'm not going to give her a name, but it's a.
It's a her.
No.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Okay. Hold on. We're whispering over here because our guests can't
secret.
Know. I want to see if they understand who this is when she comes out of this.
I sincerely apologize. I am just now seeing the reaction of these images. I'm a comic. I cross the line. I move the line. Then I cross it. I went way too far. The image is too disturbing. I understand how it offends people. It wasn't funny. I get it. I've made a lot of mistakes in my career. I will continue. I ask your forgiveness. Taking down the image, going to ask the photographer to take down the image, and I beg for your forgiveness. I went too far. I made a mistake, and I was wrong.
You know who that is,
of course.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Kathy Griffin.
That's Kathy Griffin.
She'll be working the show with us on Friday night.
Yeah.
She will not be bringing the head. No, no, no. We're not doing that.
So did she? So Kathy Griffin got in trouble.
Yes.
Because she put something that was out on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Of the president's head chopped off.
Yes.
And that was, well, you're making
See,
a face,
I think
Broadway.
When you being a comedian, it's words, not pitches, not actions. Like, that was just a little too far. Like, if you're a comedian, you're going to say, I will like this, or I will not do it. You get what I'm saying? So I felt like it was a little too far.
You did feel like it was too far.
You're not a comedian. Like, you're now a model, or you're taking pictures with stuff. You just transferring over.
So, okay, first I want to ask you. So, but do you ever have just bad judgment? I mean, you've been at this a long time,
yes.
Mats, where you get up there and you just say
you're
going
to have stuff at some time. I mean, we've all had bad experiences on stage and bombed and you know.
You can't think for people.
Yeah.
Do you think she was smart to go out there? Because, like, a comedian isn't their job to go out
there. Well, she's looking
to
save her livelihood, so she's going to apologize to you know, try and get work.
I think she felt untouchable. I think she have reached a plateau in her career that she felt that she can't be touched, and she could say what she wanted, and she could do what she wanted, and then got her leg chopped off.
Okay, so you do think that a comedian, don't you think a comedian, or I'm going to put it this way, don't you think a comedian is here, in some cases, to just bring light to something that nobody's...
That wasn't light. That was darkness.
Yeah, I know. But still, you stand your ground, like, if you're going to do it, and you just be like, hey, I'm a comedian,
like, I'm
and this
a comedian,
is what happened.
That's what I do, but not apologize.
Not like, start crying.
No.
Do you think that hurt or helped her career?
She had to look apologetic. Uh-huh. And she had to play the part.
She had to. And you would do that. If somebody said, you know something, that was just all wrong and you made a bad, you would come back and do this? Or would you be like, you know something? This
I'm
is what
wrong
happened.
And strong,
this is, yeah.
So I'm going to stay wrong and strong.
I think you would.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get people at your show that say, you know, I didn't like this joke or that offended me. Well, I'm sorry it offended you, but I'm not going to stop me from doing something
Someone
I think is funny. And there's other people.
Is that somebody online thought that was Joan Rivers?
Said she thought she was Joan Rivers.
Well, I mean, do you think? All right, let's just take the comic scene nowadays. You think there's a lot of people? How do people even get into comedy? How did you get into comedy? Like, where do you learn your skills? You went to Caroline's, you said.
No, I had it before Caroline's. To be honest with you, I don't even think Caroline's helped me to that extent, but it did. It got me to the water, but it didn't get me to drink it.
So you did go, you were going there because what did you think? You were already funny. What did you think you were
Correct.
Going to get there?
I thought that it will show me how to configure my jokes and show me, like, look, this is where you should start. This is where you finish. This is where you started. It was just more of a show and tell.
Right.
When I went there, and it wasn't. So I'm going to tell you who did help me. It's a comedian by the name of Yamanika Sanders.
Yamanika Sanders.
She's amazing.
Is she? Yamanika Sanders.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Okay.
And when I went to like a one-on-one class with her, she helped me tremendous.
Oh, boy.
She helped me a lot.
Why? What did she teach you?
It was just basically like letting me know that you can't just tell jokes. You got to tell us why you feel this way. Where is it coming from? Otherwise, it's not going to be authentic.
Okay.
So that helped me a lot because I was just like, da da da, I would write jokes and just write it and just put it in. It just wasn't landing.
Okay.
So once I got with her, and as I get older, and as I research a lot more comedians, I see different keywords and things. I'm like, oh, okay. There's a lot of I's and me and us and when, you know, something relatable to yourself.
Yeah. Right. So would. And when you went out there, you've been at this a long time, Mats. What would you tell people? Because there's a lot of people that just want to get into comedy. It seems like everybody's getting into, everybody's an expert. Everybody wants to get into comedy.
The funniest. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are a lot funnier than I am, and they just would not ever get up on stage and do it. I think it's a need to get up on stage and do this. I mean, I just enjoy. I would tell people if they are interested in it, you know, come up with some work on some material. The only way to work it out is to get up on stage. That's the only way to find out. And you're going to fail. And if you can survive failing and keep at it, that's what it is. You learn more from bombing than you do from success. If you go up there the first time and you kill, you say, I got this.
Right.
Well, you're going to find out you don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, and you need to work on stuff, and the only way to do it is to get up on stage. That's so your training ground. That's
your
gym.
You get up on stage, and then let's say you go in, just something works one week, and you go in, and you're going to a different venue the next time. Are you you're saying, oh, you know, something, I was in Stanford, now I'm going to be in, I don't know, like Kansas City or someplace. Do you research the people that are going to be there?
I think sometimes if you do that, you're going to overthink the situation. You got to be who you are and do what you do.
Yeah.
So you don't prepare well, look at your audience.
You can prepare by going into, I mean, a lot of comics do this depending on what city they're in or what they'll find out something about the city find out a location or what town do they make fun of.
Because
it's kind of an opening to get in. They'll bring that up.
Endearment and exit something.
But I don't think you go in and change. You do, like Broadway said, you do what you do. And, you know, the audience, if it's worked over and over again, it should work. The chances are that it's going to work again.
How long is a typical set?
My first set was 6 minutes.
Yeah. It was 6 minutes.
My first
That's
one.
Good.
But I only last three.
Oh, what do you mean? What happened? You start crying?
I have that problem, too.
But it wasn't the set. It was.
Oh, yeah.
why did you only last 3 minutes?
It was my first time up.
Where were you?
At Caroline's.
Okay.
And it was my first time up, and I'm just trying it and trying to memorize everything, of course. Uh-huh. And once I felt like I had enough and everyone laughed, I was like, all right, we're good here.
Oh, good. You were like, all right, I got it.
You ain't going to bomb me off the stage, you know? So if I got it and it worked and it landed and everyone laughed, my job here is done. I don't need 6 minutes for that.
That's the hardest thing to do, that 5 or 6 minute set. Is harder to do than a 25, 30-minute, 40-minute set because you got to get right to the point.
And you got to make them laugh
right
fast.
You've got 5 minutes, and that's it.
Who are the best people at telling short – like, we just listened to Daniel Tosh there, and then Daisy and I were going through that reel trying to find some place where he wasn't either, like, cursing or really offensive. But he is fast. He gets right in one joke right after another. Mm-hmm. And what are the type of – who are the types of comedians who are better with, like, an HBO special or something?
Some more special on Showtime yesterday, and she was quick. She stayed in the joke. She didn't stay too long, and then she went on to the next. And you like, oh, we're in the next one. All right, cool. And you just flow. It was a consistent flow, and it was amazing.
What about some of the comedians who seem to not even care what the audience think? They're like up there just to.
Then it's going to be a bomb show. Like, you're not even doing it for the people. You're just doing it for yourself.
It depends on who. I mean,
some of them pull it off, right?
Andy Kaufman was like that. I mean, he was there to get a reaction, whether it was people laughing or people saying they wanted to kill him. He wanted to get a reaction. I saw him out in Los Angeles in the late 70s, maybe early 80s, wrestle women at the Comedy Store. And it was one of the funniest things I ever saw, not for the fact that he was wrestling women, but the reaction he got out of the crowd. It was like a real wrestling match, and they were screaming at him. And you could, I mean, he's out there in long johns and a pair of shorts wrestling women.
They were screaming that he was just a jerk?
Yes. Oh, it was hilarious. But that's what he wanted. I mean, if you looked at it and said, well, this is not comedy, but to him, this was... His was all about getting the audience to react, whether it was good or bad. He wanted a reaction.
And what do you think a comedian – so if a comedian wants to go to Los Angeles or get it, what do comedians want to do? They want to go into movies or –
My dream is I want to go do a show in Miami Beach. I love me some Miami.
Yeah, I
would love to go to Miami.
You look like Miami for New Yorkers because you're all blinged out, and but you're in black. And so that wouldn't qualify down there.
No. I have – splash of color.
You
everywhere.
Got turquoise because you need.
And you gotta have bling. Bling is what all that matter. You don't really matter what color you have. If you have bling.
What's stopping you from going to Miami?
Nothing. I just gotta find a location, and place.
You go to Miami. So, but most comedians, are they just trying? They're doing it for the fun of it, or they're doing it because, like, if you want to make it, you have to go on Saturday Night Live, or what do you have to do?
I think right now, like in New York, it's like a rat race to me, and that's what I don't really want to be a part of. Uh-huh. Like, it's Comedy Cellar, it's Broadway Comedy Club, then it's the Gotham, and then it's like the same rat race. I don't want to be in a rat race. I want to create my own lane and do my own thing, and that's why I wanted to do something in Stanford.
So your desire is to just be a regular at the Palace Theater, or you're trying to build something separate?
I would love to build something.
That's what your dream
is?
All right, good. So how are you going to do that?
hope and prayer.
Okay.
One step at a time.
I know you got this.
And it's all going to kick off Friday,
January 11th.
At 8 o'clock at the Palace Theater in Stamford, Connecticut, on Atlantic Street.
$19 for the tickets.
Yes.
And so you can go on. You can go on to the Palace Theater in Stamford.
And I think it's like a $6 fee, so it comes as a total of
$25. $25. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's nothing in this part of town.
Correct. We're in Greenwich.
Yeah.
That's a cup of coffee.
Are you kidding me? Just check in the cushions in your couch. You'll find thousands.
Okay. Why don't you play the Sarah Sullivan? Okay. All right. Hold on. So I wanted to get into how social media is... what you can do with social media as comedians, and so
you
know,
be your own boss.
That's where we're going. All right, you're going to explain it to us, woman.
The app that I do Twitter with, it's like I can schedule tweets, which I like because sometimes I'll think of 2-3 tweets. I don't want to spoil you. Space them out. Many years ago now, at the beginning of Twitter practically, I scheduled a tweet. I scheduled it for 8.05 p.m. Pacific time. Why would I remember that? Because at 8 p.m. Pacific time, we captured and killed Osama bin Laden. The Twitterverse was aflame. At 8.05, I tweeted... why do my dog's duties come out cold? Let me just remind you, I scheduled that tweet. That's how good I thought it was.
All right, well, that was Sarah Silverman talking about comedy. Oh, okay, so there's a woman in comedy. She's very successful, mm-hmm. Sarah Silverman. Do you think it's harder for women in comedy?
I think it's the right place at the right time with the right people, because there's going to be so many successful women that's going to do comedy at all different walks of life, but it's got to be at that right time. It only works out for that person at that right time. It has nothing to do with you're the woman today or you're the woman tomorrow.
Let's talk about your time then. Yeah. You have a story. So like,
which one? Oh, yeah, see?
Yeah. Nobody knows what we're talking
what
about.
A segue. What a segue.
So I do have a story. So basically, and this is what I get, like, they say, when you go after your dreams, doors open for you. And, mm-hmm. you know, you hear it all the time, you think it's cliche, but I have the exact story for you.
Okay.
So, I just finished my class at Caroline's, mm-hmm. and I'm on the train, being nice to a nice lady, don't know her from a hole in the wall. Just being myself. Don't worry about it. The conductor, she's mean. She's nasty to her. And I work for the railroad. And I'm just like, oh, no. But she don't know that. I'm just a regular customer. Fast forward 2 weeks later, I go to a comedy show that my friend invited me to. The lady that I was nice to on the train was one of the bookers for the comedy show.
Oh, my God. So
thank you.
Do you believe Broadway in, like, destiny if you want something?
I feel like they say when... God has like supernatural power. So once he see you doing your work, he does his work. And I felt like ever since I have no horror stories from the moment I've started, and everyone says to me, you should have started before. What took you so long? And I feel like because I'm starting right now, the doors are just opening up for me. And it's ridiculous. And I can't even explain it.
I know. Max is over here. It's a good story.
That is a fantastic story. What train was that? I'm getting on it tomorrow. I'm going to get on that train tomorrow and find his booker.
It's taking you 40 years to catch up.
And I get on the wrong train. Damn it.
Max, I think you took the bus that day. I think you took the bus.
I've been driving. That's my problem.
Yeah, so that's my story. And it's just like different things. Like different.
How'd you get the gig at the Palace Theater?
One of my coworkers knows the guy who does the booking. I got a girl. She could do this. She could do that. He don't know me from a hole in the wall. He's like, he looks at me. I come in there straight off of work. I look a little homeless. So I'm glad he still took a chance.
Was it the shopping cart that gave it away?
I don't know. I think it was definitely the headscarf. And he said, you know what? You come highly recommended. I'll take care of it. Either it's going to be a win-win or it's going to be a lose-lose for somebody. I said, I don't come here to lose. I come to win.
So, okay, and that's good because then all of a sudden you get a call from Daisy.
Hello, Daisy. Hello, Tay-Tay.
Who just calls you up out of the blue and tells you to come over here.
I was like, is this one of them crazy people's? Because I don't have time for it. And I normally don't reply to people. And I was like, I looked on the link that you sent. So I looked on the website. It was like life coaching. All right, let's see how this is going to work out. And then she's like, promote your show. I'm like, hey, you know. Ain't nothing wrong with a little promo. I mean, unless something bad's going to happen to us in 5 minutes other than that. I was just like, okay. And then just like I said, the doors has just been rolling.
Good for you. Good for you. So how did you, so Mutt, you've been, when did you, like?
Obviously, my doors have not been opening as quickly.
He had to open the door with the janitor keys, you know.
Because I've had to learn to pick locks.
You know, been at it. Just, you know, as you do it more, people get to see you. Mm-hmm. And they like you. I get into, you know, the clubs and they see your act and they like you and I'll have you back. You know, I've done a lot of stuff. And where you should probably go to is up to Bridgeport. It's the Stress Factory.
I went one day and maybe that door closed on me. But it was so much traffic that I missed my appointment to, you know, do the
on Wednesday night?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll ride together.
We will. I will talk to them. I know Mark and Vinny. And,
okay.
And
yes, I definitely want to go.
See,
back
another door has just opened.
Yeah.
Where did you meet? Where did you two meet?
Through Frank Famiga, which is the same guy who got me the booking for the Palace.
Frank.
Mm-hmm. Frank is
a mutual friend of ours, and I came to the show, and I have a friend of mine who's a comic, and she's going to come to the show, and if you get a chance, talk to her. Mm-hmm. So I got done with my set.
Mm-hmm. I took his card, I slid in his DM, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
how long have you been friends?
This is the second time us meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, because when we had invited you on Broadway, mm-hmm. and you said you could bring somebody along.
Yes, correct. And she contacted me, said, would you be open to doing the show? I said, of course. I don't know.
Where do you expect to be? So Matt, you're from Stamford?
Yes.
You deliver mail? You still deliver mail?
Still deliver mail.
In New Canaan?
New Canaan, Connecticut, yes.
You spend a lot of time by yourself then. How do you
spend a lot of time. But yes, I'm in the truck. So if I want to work on stuff, I can, my mind is always going. So if I get an idea, I jot it down and, you know, I try it out in work and my fellow workers. And they're like the roughest crowd you'll ever.
If people in New Canaan have a sense of humor?
No, these are my coworkers, postal workers, which you get a bunch of postal workers in a room.
Postal don't sound safe. Just put it out there. Yeah. You better make them laugh.
Yeah, but they're a tough audience.
And what do you do, like, if I know we only have a few minutes, but I mean, when you come into, we all come into rough patches in our lives, and like, how do you just laugh your way through it, or do you figure out how to make it into comedy? Like something bad's happened to you. I know you've had some trouble in the past with relationships. We all have, but maybe do you go through a dark period and then come out of
what?
It? No.
A dark period? What is that?
Look at her. Does she look like she goes through dark periods?
Let me tell you something. I got enough darkness on my skin to last me a lifetime. I don't need to go into a dark place. So I don't... Listen, I feel like this. You can't force someone to be with you. If it's going to work, it's going to work. If it's not, it's not. That's it.
How can you get people to just be like, everybody's so serious?
Uh-oh. That was Daisy. A bottle of soda Daisy. Opening up. Daisy's just opening.
I know.
She's popping champagne. It's a celebration
in the background. Mm. So what would you say, Matt? Because you seem like a really cool guy. You consider yourself an easygoing guy?
Yeah. I mean, what you see on stage is pretty much what, you know, the way I am.
Yeah,
I look at things a little different. My mind processes things a little differently. So when I have a conversation, it kind of, the way my brain is wired, it will see the funny.
And yes, sometimes, or always see the good in everything. Or
yeah.
I always try to find like a better solution. Yeah. Like if she called me and she's sad, I'm like, all right, so let's find a solution where we cannot be sad no more.
TV.
Which one?
The TV. The story about the TV.
What, how many?
Oh, all right, so real quick.
Okay.
So I have a...
2 minutes.
Two daughters. I have two daughters. My 17-year-old. At the time, she was about 10, 11. It was Super Bowl weekend. I wanted a 60-inch TV. Wanted it so bad. Went out, bought it. The following week, she playing the Wii. She breaks the TV.
Oh, my God.
And I paid for insurance. They go, we don't cover physical damage.
What did they cover?
Exactly. And you would think that I just went in my room. I closed the door. I said, what's going to be? It's going to be. I had two options. Either be mad and not have a TV, or be happy and not have a TV. So I chose to be happy. You can't. It's nothing you can do about what is done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story of how to deal with stress.
All right. And you are going to be, we're talking to Broadway the Comic and Max Palazza, and they are two of four comics that are going to be at the Palace Theater at 8 p.m. on Friday, this Friday, January 11th.
Yes. And that is in 2 days.
That is
not
and
tomorrow.
Your birthday's tomorrow.
Noreen, your birthday is tomorrow.
How old are you going to be, 22?
I'm going to be 22.
I like that.
Good for you.
And so everybody who's listening, I want you to go over there and buy some tickets. We're going. You'll see me there. And
Daisy might be there opening
Daisy
sodas.
Daisy's sleeping in the corner.
Daisy.
And let's go out with... Yes. All right, folks. This is Defy and Hustle. Bye, everybody.
Have Bye, everybody.
Take
see you on Friday.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.